everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who is doing a real good job of shaking his pencil at me, which...
Mm-hmm. I didn't hit the microphone with mine, though.
No, I did,
Jeremy, leave that in.
Well, I should say this is our second recording of the night, and it's not going to get any cleaner from here on out. And he doesn't take it real seriously. There, I said it. Go on. You have something to say?
I have nothing to say. No, I'm just everything I needed to say just got put out there right now.
Yeah, yeah. The pen set itself. Also, this as we discussed, I think a couple weeks ago in the live recording episode, I am very easily distracted. In that particular instance, I was. I think heroic is the right word. I was heroic for not being distracted by the chat bubbles that were popping up. Bottom of Zoom, right? Pretty good. Now what I have going on is similarly distracting. I'm sitting at my computer and there's a window here just in front of my, off left in front of my vision. And it's lightning outside, I guess. It's storming here. And there's lightning. Right. It's very distracting. And it's freaking me out.
Yeah. Caveman brain is starting to kick in.
Yes.
Like, you know, magic sky is happening. Must go away.
So this is going to be a wild episode. It's going to be tough already because it is, again, the second episode we're recording tonight.
I do love lightning because it's, again, like just for that split second, it just returns your brain back to like lizard form.
Yeah. You know,
like lightning strikes a little too close. Nobody has a sensible reaction to that.
No.
There's nobody on Earth. Like the coolest cucumber on Earth. You know, fucking James Bond goes, anytime lightning strikes within a mile.
And Maple is now at an age where I don't know exactly if this is a typical thing for a 4-year-old or not, but we read, you know, we have a weather book, but she must have got this somewhere. But anyway, she's like very preoccupied with lightning right now, and she's very scared of it. And on the one hand, it's like I want to make sure that she feels safe and not scared because, you know,
course, the chance of
being, chances of being struck by lightning, as you know, are pretty low.
Yeah.
However, I do also want to nurture a healthy fear of lightning because it is bad.
it is nature's not so silent killer.
Yeah.
It
and
is.
I don't want to be like, that's nothing. That's fine. Because eventually she'll learn that it's not nothing. And then I'll be the bad guy. And I'm not falling for that. Not this time. Not again.
My favorite was when I was growing up, my parents told me when you see the flash of lightning, then you start counting one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
That's how you know how far away.
Yes. Yeah. And every Mississippi you count, that's how many miles away it is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. So then when you become an adult and you realize it's for every 5 Mississippis, that's 1 mile. That's when it becomes a little bit more serious when you're like, wait a second. That 2 Mississippis means it was just down at the end of the block? Really? That's
what I want to say to you and to the podcast listening world right now is that I was today years old when I learned that actually every 5 Mississippis is 1 mile away. I thought it was still 1 mile for every second, and that is upsetting.
All the times you've counted like 3 Mississippi in your life,
and you're like, that's 2 towns over.
Yeah, 3 miles away. My goodness, that's a neighbor I don't even know whose house just got hit. So. But no.
You've given me a lot to think about
in a way. Are you more distracted by the window now?
Yeah. I don't know that this episode is going to happen now. Boy, that's tough. That's tough. Well, you know what? I'm glad I told Maple that lightning is still bad.
Yeah. You can do the 1 Mississippi trick with her. She's pretty dumb. I don't think she's going to find out.
Well, you know, her prefrontal cortex will not be developed for like 20 more years. So we got time to play with that very, very malleable gray matter. Oh boy. So so you can probably tell by now, and we've said it already, but just a reminder, this episode is the second for us of the night, and we have started this episode as even keel and not full of alcohol as we finished the last episode.
We've crested the hill.
Yeah.
Right. We were up here.
Yeah.
Now we're down here. Now we're on the other side.
We're gonna go pretty low.
Yeah. We're picking up speed.
Yeah, and actually, speaking of trains that go downhills too fast, we have a good ghost story for you today.
Oh, a train ghost story?
You've done a really good job, actually, Pat, of the last few weeks, I think, inadvertently foreshadowing our ghost stories.
Well, again, it's definitely something I've cultivated over the last too many episodes. So
95, is that what this is? 95
episodes? Seems right.
The big centennial. Ooh,
what are we going to do for that?
That's a good question. I don't know. It should be good.
The plan is to be bad.
That's about where I've gotten to. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think we should do?
I mean, all I'm saying is every week that we record a double episode, that makes us double closer to 100. So this is 95. We're going to do a double episode next week again. That'll be leave us at 97, just before break. When we come back for season 3, we're going to be so close.
Boy, we are staring down the barrel, huh? Criminy. Okay. Hey, listeners, if you have an idea of how we should make episode 100 special, send them immediately, because when you're hearing this, we will probably be recording episode 98 by that point.
Yeah.
God.
So.
I'm sure it'll be fine. You know what? Let's just do a regular episode. If we tell people that it's no big deal, then no one will be disappointed when it is no big deal. But we'll figure something out. I don't know. I had a couple of thoughts this week, so we'll chat offline about that. But,
okay.
What else? Oh, housekeeping note that I wanted to share here. We do have some new merch. It's not good merch, and you're not going to want to buy it. But
but give someone else's credit card and they haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, you're not going to want to trail for this one for sure. And you might not want to buy this for yourself, but maybe for that friend in your life who you think needs to be taken down a peg. We have been inspired by the Hot Lake Springs episode, and we made a shirt that is Oregon Trail video game inspired, and it says, "You have died of syphilis."
Oh man.
In our version is it's the Conestoga wagon being pulled by a ghost. And beneath it says you died of syphilis. So it's it's a pretty great shirt. I don't know if I would wear it. I don't know. But we've sold already some shirts. So some people are very excited to wear it or to give it to people as a joke, and we're on board with either of those options. It's pretty good.
The money, yeah, the checks cash all the same, so it's totally fine, guys.
Yep. So so go check it out, and you know, we're constantly updating the store. So go to isthisaghost.com/store and see what's up there now. Mostly it's syphilis. All right. Well, gosh, we should get going. Do you want to hear a ghost story?
Love to.
Great.
Love to.
Okay. So in the year 2002.
Love to.
Yep. double show is tough. Double show is tough. This is the Bill Skeeto's ghost hole of March. Is it March? It's March.
It's March.
It's March. In the year 2018, it's pretty recent.
Very recent. Yeah.
Two women are hiking in the Cascade Mountains, not too far from the deserted town of Wellington, Washington, which is about 50 miles east of Seattle. Seattle's great, huh?
Oh, man. I love it.
That was one of our best baseball trips. I think
arguably the best, that one in Colorado, both very, very, very lovely.
Yeah. 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 Seattle was nice.
Seattle was nice. I got a nacho helmet there. It was served an actual fucking helmet. I was very impressed. I was like,
yeah, not like a kid's helmet, like a fucking,
yeah, like an actual helmet. You probably could take a, you know, mid-range fastball off of and not die.
That's right. With or without nachos inside.
Yeah. I remember wearing that nacho helmet. You know, I ate all the nachos out of it and took the tissue paper out, or the whatever, the wax paper out of it. We were wearing that all over town, and a lot of people gave me some pretty funny looks, and I realized later it was because there was still cheese on it.
Yeah, we didn't tell you that because it was hilarious. Oh, boy. Where are we going this year? We're going to Detroit and
D-Town and the Big C. You know it.
The Big C. Canada.
Canada, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm workshopping it.
Okay. Yeah. We call it Detour.
Yeah.
Detroit.
Detour. I like that.
Detour is pretty good. Detour. There's something there. Yeah, Detour. Mm-hmm.
Canadian Detour.
Detour. Please, mm-hmm. I guess. Can't wait. Anyway, so none of that matters. So in 2018, two women hiking Cascade Mountains, blah, blah, blah. It's a pretty difficult hike along this trail called the Iron Goat Trail.
Hmm. Okay. Goats famous for climbing up really like sheer cliffs.
Yeah.
So Iron Goats.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Even sheerer.
Yes, I think. Yeah. So as these hikers round a switchback, they look ahead and they see an old concrete railroad tunnel that disappears into the mountain.
Oh, interesting.
And they hear someone screaming inside.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, you're not interested anymore?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I was
into the story until something screamed inside a dark tunnel. Then it's like, okay, fake.
I was thinking more along the lines of if I'm hiking and I come around a switchback and I see, oh, a tunnel into the mountain. Oh, and someone's screaming inside of it. I'm done with the trail. I'm going back at that point. Yeah. I'm done hiking for the day.
Well, you don't. Okay. I will say yes. First of all, yeah, completely. Secondly, you don't know what happens next.
Okay. Do they turn around and leave?
Let me see my notes here. Okay. So
I don't remember this episode.
Okay. They heard someone screaming inside. Next line. Mm-hmm. They did the wrong thing, which is they ran to the tunnel.
Oh, you don't do that.
No, definitely not. Now, by the time they get there, the screaming has stopped.
Oh, okay.
Well done. So it's all cool. But they can hear someone whimpering inside.
Oh, okay.
So they go into the tunnel. It is pitch black. They turn on their phone lights and they see a man, a human man. Mm-hmm. And I just, yeah.
Just everyone's aware. Yeah. Not a cougar man. Not a cougar man like you might be thinking. Yeah. A human man.
Well, I was thinking not a ghost man. Just so you know, it's a man.
A corporeal man, yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's Chuck Norris. It's a man's man. It's
all man,
really. They see 100% man.
No ambiguity. His name isn't like Tracy or something. It's a man, you know?
Yeah. We're not getting any emails from anyone's estate after this. It's a man. Yeah. It's a man. Mm-hmm. It's a real man. So they see a real human man sitting on the floor of the tunnel, curled up into a ball and looking absolutely terrified.
Mm.
So these two women, they call out to him and they say, are you okay? Like, what happened to you?
Right. I thought you were a real man.
All these Old Spice commercials led me to believe that you would not be curled into a ball right now. So I'm not really sure what to think. Yeah. So they're like, what's going on? And he looks at them and he says, we shouldn't be in this tunnel.
Hard to argue with that.
I guess. Sure. Why not? This is America. You can go into whatever tunnel you want, Patrick. Oh, thank you for not filling the water silence with anything good.
I'm filling it with stretching on my side.
Yeah. Okay.
God, I look so feeble. Please don't show the video.
You look a little bit like Christian Bale in the role in The Machinist.
It's like I'm being invisibly wrestled right now. That's what I look like.
Okay. 125 years earlier, in 1893, the Great Northern Railway completed its tracks across the Cascade Mountains. Now, the Cascades are a pretty dumb place to put a train because the hills are very steep. It is a mountain. Mm-hmm. And that makes it. Yep.
Okay, yeah.
So from the get-go, these tracks are trouble. It's hard. It's tough. It's tough times out there. Even trains with locomotives on both ends had trouble making it up some of the hills on this railroad track. And the brakes were interesting in that sometimes they worked and sometimes less so.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, you know, getting up the hill, that's quite an accomplishment. Getting down the hill, you don't think about how risky that might
be. That's true. The engine that could only focused on getting up the hill. No one ever talks about what it took for him to get down the mountain.
Why do we make the rail and the wheels out of steel? This made no sense. This made a lot of sense at the top. Not no cement sense now.
One of these should have texture. Yep. Oh, no. So, where are we here? The brakes not working great. In case that's not enough, there are also sharp curves, which is pretty cool when you have a railway in the mountains. And obviously, this is the Pacific Northwest, so it snows sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so trains are like, well, I guess we'll just wait wherever we are till spring comes and hope we don't fall off the track.
We'll get as far as the train can go, and then we'll just wait until spring. We'll eat, you know, whatever's on board.
Yeah.
At that point. Yeah.
I know you are making a funny joke. However, that is literally how some trains operated in this place at this time.
Just clean out the dining car and then just start eating coal or something. I don't really know what's the plan here.
I don't know, but we all... Here's what we do know. So sometimes trains would stop because snow would be piled up dozens of feet high, and dozens is plural, which is that's a lot of snow.
That's a lot of dozens.
Sometimes there was so much snow on the tracks in the Cascade Mountains that trains would obviously, when they would stop, it would take literally hundreds of laborers shoveling snow to clear the tracks. It's a lot of fucking snow. Hundreds.
Where do you find hundreds of people in the mountains where there's dozens of feet of snow?
I think passengers on the train probably are contracted. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Anybody that wants to earn 100 Amtrak miles can please come to the dining car.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I would probably do it for that.
Yeah. I mean, it's they add up, really.
Yep. So this is the situation. So in 1900, the railroad overlords are like, we should do something about this. So they did. They started building snow sheds along the tracks.
Hmm.
You know what a snow shed is? You're an engineer.
I couldn't even hazard a guess. A place that houses hundreds of laborers to shovel off the tracks.
Close. Okay. Snow shed is, I mean, it was what it sounds like. They would build these structures that are kind of like lean-tos that basically made tunnels where they would build them into the sides of the mountains over the tracks so that snow would come down, but then it would fall into the roof of these things and the train would go underneath. Right. So basically they're building tunnels.
Okay.
Where there are no tunnels. To keep snow off the tracks, which is pretty good. These are really helpful, and some of them are huge. There is a tunnel in, the one they built that ended in Wellington, which is the focus of our story here. That snowshed tunnel was 2.6 miles long.
Goodness gracious.
That's a long fucking tunnel.
Whew.
One day, it snowed Oh no, there is a line. I was like, wow, that's a weird jump.
That's abrupt.
Yeah, I just missed a line. The year 1900. Nope. God. The year 1910 brought a terrible blizzard to the Wellington area, and it snowed for 9 days straight.
Oh.
Am I boring you?
This is too much snow. No. That was a
snow yawn.
It was a horrified noise.
Yawn of horror. Yeah.
9 days of snow.
Classic horrified noise.
A Yeti impression. It was a Yeti impression. Yeah. 9 days of snow. They bring the Yetis
good.
Out.
All right, good. So it snows for 9 days straight. At times, as much as a foot of snow would fall per hour.
Oh.
That's so much snow. And on the worst day of the blizzard, of the 9 day blizzard, this area got 11 feet of snow in one day.
Oh.
Then it kept snowing the next day.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's a lot of snow. It's snowing.
Might be too much. I would say probably too much at this point.
I don't think so. But we'll see. There. During this blizzard, there are two trains that get trapped at the Wellington Depot, which is fine because they're at the train station. You know,
yeah.
It's all good. Yeah.
Not a bad place to get stuck.
Yeah. There are definitely way worse places to get stuck. So these two trains are there. There's a passenger train and there is a mail train. So only one of them has people on it. So it's pretty good.
Right. The train full of mails.
Yes. Step back and be angry about that joke for a second. Oh, boy. Here's a quote from a source that is linked to in our show notes. Quote, snow plows were present at Wellington and others were sent to help, but they could not penetrate the snow accumulations and repeated avalanches along the stretch of tracks between Scenic and Leavenworth.
Oof.
So the snow is very bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only snowing on the tracks and on the snow sheds, but also some of the snow in the mountains is sliding down the mountains.
Right.
Look at that cat. Oh my God.
I know. He got it right behind me in the chair. No. That's a wire. No.
He is going to suckle on your teat.
He is going to chew a hole in a wire tonight.
It's okay. He's so sweet.
Behind the washing machine. I'm sure it's very interesting behind the washing machine.
I think so. So these trains are going nowhere. Right. It's a bad it's a bad scene. But finally, on February 28th, after 9 days of blizzard, the snow stops. And it's replaced by rain and a warm wind.
I think after 9 days of snow, you're probably just done with all precipitation. You don't want extras.
Yeah, I think you just tell whoever's in charge, be like, nah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the consideration, but...
Give us a day.
Give us a day. Some time, yeah. So it's raining, there's warm wind. They don't like that because these dozens of feet of snow start to melt.
This that cause a problem?
Prove to be a problem, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. A bit. A little after 1 o'clock a.m. on March 1st, a bolt of lightning hits the mountain.
Oh. And everybody went, oh!
They went, ah! And Clayton went, I don't know.
And one child in their bedroom went, 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000. It's not that close. I wouldn't worry about it. It's not that close.
No, and it did strike literally outside your window, but I mean, it's not going to strike in your window. Probably, maybe next time. I counted
like 4 1,000s between my window and me.
Palms are sweating just thinking about it. I don't like it. So a bolt of lightning hits a mountain, and this causes a huge slab of snow to break free up in the mountains over Wellington. You okay?
Totally fine. Just a lot of cat noises that are scaring me.
Ghosts, actually.
Those are.
Did you know? I don't know if you. We were waiting to tell you this. There's a fun fact. Those cats don't exist. They are ghosts. They're ghost cats.
They are gone right now. So yep. I can't really argue with you. I can't produce either of them at the moment. So,
so lightning strikes, causes a huge slab of snow to break free. This slab of snow, slab is the wrong word because it is 10 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
It's half a mile long.
That's quite a slab.
And a quarter of a mile wide.
Okay.
It's a fucking glacier.
Yeah.
At this point. It's bad. And also a forest fire had torn through the mountain not too long before the blizzard. So there are no trees left to stop.
Thinned it all out.
Yes, correct.
Lovely. Hmm.
So it's cool. And so this shelf of snow is barreling down toward the town of Wellington. Now, miraculously, the avalanche missed the Baylett's Hotel, which is kind of the main building in town. It's also the general store and the post office.
Mm-hmm.
Less miraculously, it does slam into the railroad depot and it hits real hard. And again, it's 1 a.m. And so almost, mm-hmm. so there are, you know, for the passenger train, most of the people on the passenger train are still on the train sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have gone to the hotel in town, which mm-hmm. as we noted was spared. Most of them are still on the train. And gosh.
So you're saying about a million tons of snow plus train. Not a good combo.
Well, I have a photo. Let's just see. let's just see.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, here is. Let me see. Where are you? Share my screen. This is a photo of the aftermath.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not good. That train shouldn't be on that side.
There, yes. So, do you want to explain to a listener what you're seeing? And there, up here is the train tracks, just so you know.
Okay. You know. Yes, the train tracks are off in the distance. I would say the better part of a quarter mile away. We're seeing wreckage of a train that's probably tumbled down a hill quite a ways, mixed up with a bunch of brush and garbage and... probably 6-7 foot around trees as well, just kind of mixed in.
Gigantic trees.
So, yeah, apparently a million tons of snow will, it packs a wallop.
Yeah, boy, sure. It packs a wallop. Yeah, it turns out it sure does. Yeah. And I think I am not a train expert. I am pretty sure this train car is upside down.
Yeah.
I think that matters at this point. Mm-hmm. I think it is potentially indicative of the fact that the train car rolled round and round and round and came to a rest.
I don't think by the time the train car ended up upside down, anybody was left to complain that the train car was upside down.
Well, that's a good point. And we call that a blessing. Hey, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. In total, 96 people were killed.
Oh,
that accounts for 35 passengers, 58 railroad employees.
Ooh.
And then three local railroad employees, like three station.
God, almost employees. An entire snow shed of railroad employees. Just crazy.
I don't even want to respond to that. Of all possible people who might have been killed, only 23 people survived.
Oof.
So 96 dead, 23 survived. Yep. I don't know. It's bad. That's really a miracle.
I can imagine the photo you show. By the way, in the photo you show, there's no snow left in the photo.
So this clear, yeah, like this is after the fact.
That's like a 5 days aftermath.
Yeah. So photo. Picture that with like 10 feet of snow on top of the wreckage.
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure how you get out of that. I don't really know. That might be just kind of a sit tight in the. You know, complete and utter darkness. And just
I think 96 people would agree with you, but they don't know how it happens. So these survivors, 23 survivors, were pulled from the wreckage by railroad workers who had stayed in the hotel. So I don't know how you like drew straws to figure out who's going to stay in the hotel or not. But and again, the hotel was spared, but just barely. And then the guys who were in the hotel came out and pulled out those 23 people, but everyone else didn't make it. Because the weather is so bad, they can't pull out any of the dead bodies.
Hmm. Yeah.
And so the dead people stayed there for another, gosh, do you want to guess how many weeks?
This is, what time of year does this occur in?
This is March 1st.
I'm going to say they pull them out in early May would be my guess.
How many weeks would that be? March, April. So like you're thinking like 10 weeks-ish?
Yeah, so, yeah, 6 to 10 weeks, we'll say.
21 weeks later, they just pulled out in
late. Just after Independence Day, they decided to start pulling people out.
Yep, in late July, they retrieved the rest of the bodies. That's bad. It's bad. I don't know what else to say. It's bad. Now, at some point, someone with some clout said Wellington is national news in a pretty bad way. Y'all think we should change the name of the town? And they were like, I think so. That's a good idea.
Not so Wellington. We're not doing very well up here anymore. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to mention. I thought I wrote a note. I did not. The train, most of the train, fell into the Ty River, T-Y-E.
Oh, okay.
So the river runs through the mountains. So it knocks the train. Oh, missed a whole part here. The part I did not share because it's been a long night is that the avalanche hits and knocks the train, both trains, 150 feet down the hill and into the Ty River. So, anyway, so later people are like, we should change the name of the town. They're like, yeah, we should. So they renamed the area Ty.
Now, personally, if I'm gonna spend the time to rename the town, spelling, you know, renaming it to the eventual, you know,
the resting place
of all the dead bodies
of 90 like, something bodies.
Personally, I would probably rename it something a little more inspiring. Like
Heaven's Gate.
I was thinking more like Invincible Train. That's what I would call it. You know,
well, that's a mistake because it is clearly not that.
He's got to gaslight everybody. Oh, that accident couldn't happen in Invincible Train. I mean, have you heard the name of the town? Honestly,
it's worth a shot. So the same month that the town was renamed, the Great Northern Railway decided they should start building snow sheds out of concrete instead of whatever they built it with. I had a picture here. I think, as far as I can tell, snow? I think it was pencils. Yeah. So they got more serious about their snow sheds, which was, I mean, hey, A plus move.
Yep. Everyone here, we complain. I mean, honestly, can't make an omelet, you know, without a...
Okay.
96
breaking 96 eggs. Yep. It does. Every time I make an omelet, it does take 96 eggs to make that happen.
That sounds delicious.
That's a giant omelet. Sounds real good. So they close a big chunk of the avalanche area with concrete tunnels, which is nice for future people, not for these people.
No.
But as for the town of Wellington itself, or I guess Ty itself, this is abandoned and then it's burned. And I couldn't figure out, I don't know if it's like a lightning strike burn or if people were like, someone went out there and was like, let's burn this. I
that little girl in the house didn't even get to one Mississippi that time. It was just, oh, well, that was it.
What up?
Good shit. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but it did burn. And today, the avalanche area is part of the Iron Goat Trail. Let's see. Hikers have claimed they've felt hands pushing against them as they walk the trail through the Wellington area. Some have even seen full-blown apparitions of people who died in the avalanche, warning them to run away. But doing so, like dressed in, you know, period clothes,
with like the little packets of peanuts and like the tiny waters from,
Amtrak exists that now it's exists then it's we all get it. Others have reported screams from the abandoned town, mostly from the train tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2018, when these two women hiked into the Cascades and found a man curled up and sobbing inside a cave, they brought him out of the cave. They calmed him down.
Mm-hmm.
They asked him what had happened. And the man said that he had been standing in the tunnel, just looking at the rocks.
And sure, suddenly, very interesting rocks, I'm sure.
Yep, sure.
Is that quartz?
It's is there gold in this? Should we boil this cave? And as he's examining this, suddenly a huge, thunderous noise crashed down on him from the tunnel above. So loud that it obliterated everything around him. All his senses were gone. It caused him to clap his hands over his ears, crumple into a ball in the bottom of this tunnel. This was the sound of an avalanche. And multiple people throughout the years have said that when they are in this area, in the cave or out of the cave, but nearby, they will hear the crushing sound of an avalanche coming down, even though, of course, there is no such avalanche.
Wow.
That, my friend, is the story of the Iron Goat Trail.
Hmm.
What do you think?
I'll be honest. This is easily the biggest ghost we've ever had. A ghost avalanche that's a half a mile long.
It's large.
Yeah.
It is large.
We've had ghost ships. Yeah. We've had ghost planes.
Yeah.
Ghost avalanche, though, that takes the cake.
I wonder if I can find a ghost continent. That would be fun. That would be really something. Oh, man. Yeah, it's a whole thing. And, you know, I agree with you, Pat, that if you are hiking in the mountains and you see a tunnel and you hear someone screaming from inside of it, That's your cue to go.
Yeah, that's
your hike is done.
Yeah,
I think pretty sure your hike is done.
I was hoping to get 3 miles in today. I got about a quarter mile in before I heard somebody getting attacked by a cougar, and then I thought, you know what,
go to bed,
back to the car. Yeah,
yeah. And that's how you stay off this podcast, quite frankly. So so we're happy to help you. And Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. The notes are taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes are from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media editor is Kai Valanis. And gosh, I guess that's it. What a double we pulled tonight.
Indeed. Indeed. We got to see a mountain-sized ghost.
Yeah.
We got to visit the lovely town of Invincible Train. What was it called again? I remember now.
Go ahead.
Beef Wellington.
Yep. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Pretty good night. Pretty good night. Gosh, it's late, huh? We should go to bed. So take care. You go to bed. Doesn't matter what time of day you're listening to this episode. Go to bed. You earned
it. Just pull over the car abruptly and just knock out.
Let's go to bed and dream about being a good person this time. Because otherwise, you may be the next topic of next week's episode of Is This a Ghost? ¶¶